From the Midas Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, mostly sunny, 55 this afternoon. By tonight, a chance of rain and cloudy, the overnight low of 37. Also, more rain tomorrow, 53 on Saturday. Tomorrow night, rain, the overnight low of 41. It is currently 50 degrees. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being on the program today as we keep you updated about things happening around Douglas County. And we go live to the Douglas County Fairgrounds, another drive-through testing clinic for COVID-19 just getting underway. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So talk about the clinic that just got started, yet another one around the area, and explain for folks who maybe haven't heard kind of how these clinics are working and why there's the advantage of the drive-through clinic.
So we've been doing these drive-through clinics twice a week since March 17th. So we do another one today. These clinics allow patients who, after they get an order from their doctor, to just drive up and get their nose swabbed, and we send it off to the lab and we get it done. It's very easy for the doctor. We think it's as easy as could be for the patient because they drive up. They're usually only waiting 5 or 10 minutes to get them done, and then they can take off, and other people take care of all of the other factors. We're not charging any money for it. Quest Lab is not yet charging people for this test, so we think it's an easy way to get the test. In addition, we're using special kinds of personal protective equipment that tremendously protect the people who are doing the swabbing, and because we're doing it in the drive-through way, we're only using two sets of this to do all of the testing.
Now, just to emphasize for people listening right now, the folks that are being tested this afternoon are people that were asked to be there through their health care provider communicating with Douglas Public Health, correct?
That is correct. We've not turned anybody away, so anybody who calls their doctor and decides that they want to test, we've been able to do. Now, if we did have more requests than we had slots, we might prioritize, but we've not needed to do that.
And, of course, the testing at the front end of all of this, the tests seemed very much to be in short supply. Is that still the case?
Yes, the tests are in very short supply, and several aspects of the tests are in short supply. So we have this special Q-tip that we have to put in people's nose, 5 inches deep, to collect the stuff that's there. There's a tremendous shortage of those Q-tips because they're made in Italy, right where the big outbreak is, and there's a worldwide shortage of those. Then they need to be put in viral transport media. There's a worldwide shortage of viral transport media. And then there's a shortage of the cartridges to do the tests. So there's a shortage at every step of the process.
Wow. Now, people may have just heard, in fact, just moments ago in our newscast, our national news, about this 15-minute test. And I'm sure that has brought up some questions about that. What can you tell folks? What have you heard about that so far?
Right. So there are several kinds of rapid tests that have been approved by the FDA. These take anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, and they give a result which we think is going to be fairly accurate. Now, none of these tests are particularly sensitive, meaning that if you took 100 people who had the disease and tested them, about 60% would test positive, about 30 or 40% would test negative, even though we knew they had the disease. So the test is very good for if it's positive. It's not particularly good if it's negative. And all of these tests are going to be very helpful to get. They all require two things. All these rapid tests require a machine to run it in, and most places have one of these machines, but it requires the brand of machine that then you have a cartridge for. And the cartridge to test these are in very short supply.
So people shouldn't be expecting to see these around our area anytime soon then?
Well, there's one provider in town that has the machine and got a few test kits this week. So we're hoping that we can use that, but it's just going to be a few tests a week.
Interesting. Obviously, a lot of concern about this in Oregon. How do you feel like the state is doing at this point in terms of the infection rate and the number of people that have tested positive around Oregon?
Well, we're not very deep into it, right? We've just had our first case a few weeks ago, and so we're not very deep into it. But the early stages show that Oregonians are doing a very good job at social distancing. So kudos to everybody in Oregon. And as we look out here, traffic is really quite decreased from usual. So kudos to Oregon for following the social distancing.
Now, obviously, at the beginning here, I mean, all of this to most folks seemed like it kind of came on very quickly, but I was going through some of my records for interviews and realized just how far back you and I had had an initial conversation in January about what was going on and the word was beginning to get out from China.
Right. So in late January, you and I had this conversation, and I told you that this was a potentially enormous threat to our country. And I think the predictions that we made back then have come almost totally to truth. You know, we predicted then that it would start slowly and then really accelerate. And we have certainly seen that in many places around the country. So, for example, in New York, they had their first 100 cases only 26 days ago. And now they have 100,000 cases. So in 26 days to go from 100 cases to 100,000 cases suggests incredibly rapid spread. And that's why when we talked in January, there had been no cases yet in the U.S. And we talked about the risk for this, and it really has come true.
And a lot of people, I think, would, you know, when these things happen, well, I would say when these things happen, we don't really have anything to compare quite like this. But when tragedies come along, a lot of times folks are hoping that they avoid the area they're in. Maybe it'll be in another part of the country or whatever. And it's certainly altered our lives here and really for most all of the country.
Well, and for most of the world. So when we check, we don't think there's any part of the world that's spared except for Antarctica, which doesn't have a lot of people in it. But almost every other country in the world is affected. This is truly a pandemic when it affects so many different people in so many places.
And as you've talked about before, one of the aspects of this that make it different is this potential seriousness of it, but also the fact that many people can get it or even have it and think they just have a regular cold or not much at all, and then pass it on to others who might be more likely to be impacted due to their age or health factors.
Well, that's indeed a problem. You know, this disease is really a tricky one because there are so many people who are either asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. So if you're asymptomatic, you don't even know you have the disease at all, and you may go on with your daily activities and continue to infect people. So this stealth infectivity is really quite uncommon in diseases, and in this one makes it really hard. And is the reason you couldn't say if you're sick, stay home, everybody has to stay home, because we really don't know who has it and who doesn't. Also because of asymptomatic transmission, that's why you've heard so much about people wearing masks.
Yeah, and talk about that, because it seems like what we're hearing on that is starting to shift a bit as to who should be wearing masks and why and what their effectiveness is at. What can you tell us there?
Well, I think if we wanted to confuse people, we've done a very, very good job at that, because public health has been all over the map with this. But let me try to explain as best we go. So people initially thought that wearing masks was to protect yourself from getting sick. And it's pretty clear that wearing other than a high-grade mask is not particularly good at protecting you from the illness. But what we've recognized now is with the asymptomatic transmission, there are some people who have no symptoms at all, and so they have no reason to wear a mask, and that they're spreading it to lots of people. Masks are actually most effective, not for the person receiving the disease, but for the person giving the disease. So we think that if more people wear a mask, maybe we could stop some of the asymptomatic transmission. So again, it's not to protect you, it's to protect others from you.
And masks, just like everything else involved in this, are also in extremely short supply.
Right. So manufactured masks are going to be in extremely short supply for a long time. The good news is that to protect you from giving them from others, it does not need to be a high-quality mask. It really just needs to protect those big globules of spit that come out of your mouth. And even a regular cotton mask does very well with that.
And would you encourage then people to look at that, to consider starting to wear masks then?
So just today, there are three different varying pieces of advice. So the state suggested not. The CDC says we don't know, and President Trump thinks we should. So with all that different advice, who am I to talk? My answer would be that if people want to wear masks in public, I would not discourage them from doing it. But at this point, I would wait for the three of them to figure this out.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back in just over a minute. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer live from the Douglas County Fairgrounds, where another COVID-19 testing clinic is going on. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. No Umpqua Valley Live today. We'll have an hour of the travel program that we air on Sundays. So listen for Eye on Travel this afternoon with Peter Kreenberg, an hour of that in place of Umpqua Valley Live at 4. And State Representative Cedric Hayden will be on Mondays inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer live out at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, where folks are getting tested this afternoon. I know in the update yesterday, it sounded like the Douglas Public Health Network and the other folks involved in this were looking at taking the testing perhaps over to coastal Douglas County over in the Reedsport area.
Yes, indeed.
And do you have a timeline yet on that?
That's our meeting at 1 o'clock. So we're going to figure out that at 1 o'clock. But we know that for people on the coast, traveling to Douglas County is a long trip. So we're going to go out there and do a testing clinic this weekend.
Is it possible that some of these drive-through clinics might go to other areas along the I-5 corridor, for instance, down to Glendale or Azalea, or north to places like Elkton, places like that?
Well, it's a big setup to get this thing done. We have tremendous help from Public Works, from the sheriff, from DPHN. Today, Evergreen is doing the swabbing. So it takes a lot of people to get these set up. And so I think we're going to just focus on doing these in central Douglas County. Because if you did it in Glendale, people might need these tests and have to drive then all the way down from Drain to Glendale, which is a long drive. So we're trying to do them centrally located, so we can preserve our PPE, because if we did 10 in Glendale and 10 in Winston and 10 in Drain, you'd have to use new protective equipment each time and you'd burn through it. And we only have a certain limited number of the disposable parts of those PAPRs. So we're really trying to preserve that.
So when people who have been invited to come out because their healthcare provider wanted them tested, when they come out, they stay in their car, correct?
They stay in their car and drive through. And occasionally people get out because there's multiple people in the car or kids in the car and we want them to get out. But if they're in the car by themselves or everybody in the car is getting tested, they can just sit in their seat and get it done. It's actually better because it's distinctly uncomfortable. And if people stand and get this done, they'll sometimes faint.
And also, I would presume that doing it this way and doing it underneath the grandstands at the fairgrounds kind of adds to the privacy aspect for those getting tested.
Well, both privacy and weather control. We have heaters in there, and obviously we're protected from the rain. And with the heaters, we can leave it warm enough for the people who need to have some manual dexterity.
Now, in Douglas County, at last check, we had 10 positive cases. There have been a number of folks tested at the clinics that you've been overseeing. Also, of course, other testing going on. It seems like as we look at the numbers for Oregon, it's the more populous counties. Of course, there's more people in those counties to begin with, but proportionally it seems like we're seeing more cases in some of these bigger locations. Does that have to do with people coming into contact with more people, for instance, than their average day?
We think there are three reasons why it starts in urban areas. The first is, yes, in urban areas, to come into contact with more people. You might take mass transit, you might wait in line for things. Thank goodness in Douglas County you rarely wait in line for anything. So the density clearly makes a difference. The second is people who travel, and just in a bigger area like that, you'll have more people who travel internationally or travel across the country than you will in a small area that like Douglas County. And the third, I think, is pure luck.
Interesting. Well, and of course, around the U.S., we've seen places where some of the social distancing and some of these hard to deal with guidelines haven't come out, and then they've had just these huge spikes in those places just because so many people were still together.
Yeah, unfortunately, what we've seen in some states and in some localities, people have really not followed the social distancing guidelines, and we're starting to see huge outbreaks. The outbreaks in New Orleans are absolutely heartbreaking. You know, they had Mardi Gras, and in the weeks following that, they've had an enormous number of cases and lots of deaths, especially in nursing homes and especially in older people in New Orleans. And it is really, really stressing the system. I read a firsthand account by an ED doctor who worked in the emergency department in New Orleans, and it just is absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, and some of these as well, some of the folks likely were exposed by people who didn't know they had anything because this was just starting to come out. I mean, some of these back up several weeks. For instance, somebody had mentioned that if they had more information about what was likely coming, that Mardi Gras might have been canceled, for instance. Now, obviously, that gets into people assigning damage control to other folks, and there's a back and forth on the political side there. But it does seem like practically a lot of people were still doing these things because they didn't even know there was a reason from any source to consider backing down on those personal contacts.
Well, I think around that time, if you remember back to Mardi Gras, there were some very contradictory things, right? We were still planning on March Madness. The president was still saying we wouldn't get over this. And so there was a lot of contradictory information. So it's really hard to blame people for listening to lots of information and then not knowing what to do. And so we started emergency planning. You have to start, the first day you have to say is, I will always be wrong. If I overplan and then it doesn't happen, or cancel something and it doesn't happen, I'll be blamed for being Chicken Little. And if it does happen, I'll be blamed for not doing enough. So you have to start on this job by realizing that your ability to predict it exactly right is going to be almost zero. And so you'll get blamed one way or another. So I think there were a lot of people who were unwilling to go ahead and cancel something like Mardi Gras, go ahead and cancel something like a Blazers game for fear that this wouldn't have come true. And in retrospect, it's always easy to say you should have done that earlier. But at the time, this was a tough decision.
And I know you've talked about before, just in terms of how you're communicating information and how the word is getting out around the county to folks, wanting to stress the seriousness of the situation, but do so in a way that doesn't, you know, sort of incite panic in the streets, but also doesn't make people feel like it couldn't possibly happen to them.
Right. So I think you want to strike this balance, right? So the balance of panic is terrible, because when people panic, they try to do things which are not helpful for everybody else. On the other hand, nonchalance is not very helpful either. So I think actually in Oregon, we've hit it just about right. You know, some places have done a total lockdown where nobody's allowed to leave. Here, I think we've kept open essential businesses, allowed restaurants to do takeout. But we're still pretty strict about, we're pretty good about limiting social contact. So I think we're doing a good job there. But it is really very hard to pick this out. I think Oregon has struck a very nice balance.
As we go into the weekend, of course, oftentimes people are going to events. Those are not happening. Maybe they want to get out and do other things, which are maybe not official events, but just activities or their family might like to go do or go do with friends. And I'm sure from the mental health side of this, the longer this goes on, it's going to be tougher and tougher for people to stay this isolated.
It will. There are some people who are really gregarious people, and being isolated for them is really quite hard. So what we're telling people to do is you can still certainly socialize with people by social media. So telephone calls, video chats are perfectly fine. I think things where you maintain social distancing, hiking with somebody else, but maintaining your social distance is perfectly fine. Going out for a walk by yourself is perfectly fine. So we really do encourage people to go outside, get a little bit of exercise, and treat yourself well. Be sure that you're getting adequate sleep. Don't get too obsessed with this whole COVID thing. There's plenty of other stuff to watch and do. You don't have to do COVID 24/7.
And a lot of people I've noticed just really this week have started to do some of those social things that way. You know, it's one thing to not be able to meet your friends for a couple of weeks. But then, for instance, I know of a couple of situations where people are doing social events via Zoom.
Yeah, so I think you can do that. What I've learned is that social media is much more powerful than I ever imagined. And the ability to go ahead and do conference calls, go ahead and do video calls or whatever has been just great. And this has also brought out the best in people. We've had an army of people making masks. So every day there's another box of homemade masks on my desk when I get to work in the morning of people who have been working hard making masks for people. So now I think we've distributed well over 1,000 of these masks to the hospital and to various clinics and to EMS. And then I was on the phone this morning with somebody else who's making them for the general public. So there's so much good stuff going on.
And final thoughts for people here as we get ready to wrap up just about what they should be doing and how they should treat this situation.
So Oregon is doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And the good work is social distancing. Stay 6 feet away from anybody else. Stay home if you can. Wash your hands and cover your cough.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer live from the drive-through testing clinic at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I'll see you on Monday.
All right. We will. We'll do Talking Health Monday with Dr. Dannenhofer and other folks from Douglas Public Health Network. That'll be Monday at 4. 1247 at, make that 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.